If you have your Bibles, we invite you to take them and turn with me to a couple of places. If you want to turn in the Old Testament to Psalm 13, and then also 1 John. 1 John will probably be spending the most time there this morning, though we have a lot of scripture to share with you. But Psalm 13, let's go there first. And the psalmist is declaring at the very end of this psalm and in the heart of this psalm something truly magnificent and amazing. I'm going to read the whole psalm. It's one of my favorites. Psalm 13, it says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, 'I have prevailed over him.' Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." And here's the verse, verse 5. "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." The steadfast love of God. When we think about this day, Valentine's Day, I know as a child I used to think, "Oh, Valentine's Day, yeah, I know what that's all about. I understand what that's about. That's that day that was terrible that happened early on in the 1900s, you know, around Chicago area. You know, there was gangsters and they had the Tommy guns. And they went out and they shot everybody. And so the streets were filled with blood and it was red. And that's why they called it Valentine's Day." No. It was named after a patron saint called Saint Valentine's. And a little bit later on in the 1960s, the Catholic Church had to remove a lot of the saints because they were getting so many, so they removed St. Valentine's. But it was a patron saint who cared for others. That's why it was named that. But when we think of Valentine's Day, traditionally it's a day where we are to express at least our love to those who we love. And if you believe, well, it's not that big a deal, it's not that important. If you're around someone you love who is expecting you to express your love to them through a card or through flowers or through that chocolate, or through some kind of gesture, and you don't do that, oh my, oh my, you're in trouble. My beloved bride, who I love very much, I thought, in our years of marriage, you say, "Well, how long have you been married, Pastor Ted?" Well, we've been married, if I get it right, 37 years, moving on 38. It's great. My first goal in our marriage was I wanted to be married to her longer than she was single. Think about that. So we've accomplished that. So thankfully for that. Okay? So that's good news. But there was one time in the history of our romance together that I thought, Valentine's Day is no big deal. I'm not going to do anything. She doesn't care about cards or flowers or chocolates. Oh boy, was I wrong. I've never forgotten that look, the tone, and it just gets me to my feet. And so we look forward to this day to express love to those whom we love. The psalmist here in 13 says, I've trusted God in your steadfast love. Other translations state that word steadfast as unfailing love, never-ending love. It is referring to God, the creator of the universe, Almighty God. It's referring to his love. In fact, it's referring to the covenantal love of God expressed to his people. In other words, God is declaring, the whole Old Testament, God is declaring, I have made a covenant with you, Israel. I've made a covenant with you. I have made a vow to you. I have made a promise to you that I love you. It is a day where we are to express our love to those whom we love. A.W. Tozer, in his daily devotional that the Alliance puts up on the website every so often, February 10th, said this, nothing is important enough to be allowed to stand in the way of our relationship to God. Nothing in heaven or earth or hell can separate us from the love of God. We should see to it that nothing on earth shall separate us from God's friendship. He later goes on and says this, God wants to do something within every one of us that will cause us to love everybody, letting all bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be put away from among us, assuring that we will be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God has, for Christ's sake, forgiven us. We know that society says this. Tina Turner, in her Rock and Roll Days, had a hit that says, what's love got to do with it? Right? Yeah, you've heard it. I'm sure you have. What's love got to do with it? And I would say to that songwriter, to those individuals who hold to that, says, well, love doesn't really have anything to do with it, with life. I would say love has everything to do with life. God, in his infinite wisdom, he didn't need to create man in his own likeness, as Genesis declares, in his own image, that we could know God. God didn't need to create man in his own image, but he did. He breathed into him the breath of life, formed us out of dust of the earth, but in us created us that ability that we could know him and have a relationship with him. God did that because God, his character, who he is, the very essence of his being, he is love. He is love. You say, well, how important is love? Is it the most mentioned word in the Bible? No. But it, depending on the English translation you use, the ESV mentions love 684 times. The King James Version mentions it 442 times, but it also has another word that it uses for love called charity. Charity. New American Standard mentions it 479 times. The New Living Translation, 759 times. The NIV, New International Version, 686 times. Love. We know that for the English word, we use the word love. But in the Greek, in the original language, there are four meanings of the word love. Agape, eros, phileia, storge. These are brotherly love, sexual love, dispassionate and friendly love, familial love, and affection, usually between parents and offspring. Agape refers to that supernatural love, that spiritual love that God has for his people. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, and let's look at this. If you want a There are many passages through Scripture that we can look at love. Where is love mentioned? We see in the Old Testament that love is mentioned with Abraham being challenged to sacrifice Isaac on the altar because Isaac, you know, God wanted to know, I want you, Abraham, to take your son whom you love and offer him to me. Do you love him more than me? We see that. But as we survey Scripture, we want to focus in on the Gospel of 1 John. In chapter 2, you probably have heard the story where John, the disciple who was known as the disciple whom Jesus loved, was asked by the early church after he was released from the island of Patmos. This is how the story goes. And he was asked to give a word from the Lord before the congregation. They would say, Brother John, do you have a word from the Lord today for us? And John would get up and he would say, Beloved, let us love one another. Well, the next week came and the service was there and people gathered around and they were anticipating a word from the Lord. And so they asked John, John, do you have a word from the Lord for us today? And John would get up and he would say, Beloved, let us love one another. Third week went on. Same thing happened. John, do you have a word from the Lord for us? Yes. Beloved, let us love one another. And one of the other leaders of the church says, Well, you've said that to us the prior services and prior weeks. Why? He says, Until we learn that, there's nothing new else to share. Think about that. Our scripture, 1 John chapter 2 and verses 3 through 11, we'll begin there. It says, And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light and in him. There is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. When I understand and trust in the steadfast love, the unfailing love of God, the love of the Lord, I've put my faith and trust in Christ as my Savior. Therefore, I'm trusting in God's love for me. And you've probably heard it said, John 3:16, for God so loved, put your name there, for God so loved Ted that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Because of God's amazing, everlasting love for you and me, I can put my faith and trust in him because of that covenantal relationship, because of his expression through Christ dying on the cross for me and my sins, atoning and absolving all that so that I could be made clean before the Lord, forgiven, and even made righteous and holy. Wow. Out of love. What a motive. Therefore, I can walk in the light. I can have fellowship with God. I can walk in obedience. That's a testimony of my relationship with the Lord. And I can even walk like Jesus Christ, loving God and loving others. Walking means how I'm living my life day by day, moment by moment, minute by minute. So when I trust in God's steadfast love, I will be able to walk in the light and have fellowship with one another. This is really referring to the earlier chapter of chapter 1 of 1 John, where it says, this is the message in verse 5, we have heard from him and proclaimed to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, with God, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Wow. When I trust in God's steadfast love, I will walk in the light, having fellowship with God. What the New Testament church was facing, what the believers were facing, they were facing a group called Gnostics, and a belief of Gnosticism, that knowledge was the fulfillment of everything and the attainment of everything. And they believed that God was really emotionless. In other words, God didn't express emotions. God didn't express love, especially to his creation. John writes this and he says, we have fellowship with God if we're walking in the light. We're walking in the truth of who God is. We're walking, pursuing him. We are being made more like Christ moment by moment, day by day. Why? Because when I put my faith in Christ, his Holy Spirit takes up residency in my life, and the old things are gone, as he told the Corinthians, and new things have come, and I have a new life within me, a new spirit. His spirit lives within me. So then his spirit starts speaking to my heart as I spend time with the Lord, as I spend time cultivating that relationship, as I spend time expressing praise and adoration and worth to him. I am loving God. As I do that, God is shedding his love in me, through me, and I'm walking with him. I'm having fellowship with him. I'm in the light. I'm not in the darkness. Darkness refers to those things that are done, maybe in secret, but those things that are not of God. They are ungodly. They are sinful. They are wrong. Many times when I come across individuals in conversation, I usually don't have to challenge them that what you're doing is wrong. A few times I've had to say that. When individuals have committed that word we don't like to say, adultery or fornication. And because of pride, we refuse to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. And so that individual may rise up in their carnality, in their worldliness, in all their human strength to deny that they have sinned. When we deny that we have sinned, notice what John says. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. And his truth, his word, is not in us. But if I walk in the light, I can have a sweet fellowship with him. I recognize and understand who I am. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, no, not one. In humility, if you want to say, well, Pastor Ted, you seem pretty good. Well, ask my wife. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. We think back in the Old Testament of David, and David was a man after God's own heart, and yet He was even saying in Psalm 13, God, I've been discouraged and depressed. My enemies are going to overtake me. I don't know what's going to happen. And it feels like you've abandoned me and left me, but I'm going to trust. Not in my righteousness, my goodness, my understanding. I'm just going to trust in the fact that you love me. Beautiful little song we used to sing in Sunday school, isn't it? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. When I trust in God's steadfast love, I will then walk in obedience. And this will be a testimony that I know God. Notice chapter 2, again, verses 3 and 4. By this we know that we have come to know him. By this we know we have come to know him. Know who? Know God, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If we say that I know God, and yet I willfully, intentionally, habitually continue in darkness, continue on the path of sin, continue to do things my own way, filled with selfishness, not with the Holy Spirit motivating, but myself motivating to gratify the sins of the flesh, whatever they may be, if I continue in that, I'm not going to please the Lord. I'm not going to walk in obedience. And I will bring shame to my God. Now, the Lord knows our hearts. His Holy Spirit looks on each of us. He knows everything about you. He knows your good days, your bad days. He knows if you really like coffee black. He knows if you don't like coffee at all. He knows everything about you. And he loves you with an everlasting, redemptive, reconciling, yes, sometimes a rebuking love. And he wants you to be made whole, complete, clean, really one with him. When I trust in God's steadfast love, I'll walk in obedience, not because I have to, but because I love to, because I love God. It's an interesting passage in John chapter 21 where you recall the story. Peter had denied knowing Jesus three times. And in this passage in John chapter 21, there is that shore. It's one of on the shoreline of maybe the Sea of Galilee. And Peter and his buddies were doing what they knew best. They were out there fishing. And Jesus was on the shoreline. And he, and I love this, he made breakfast for his guys. Oh, I wish I could have been there. Wouldn't that have been great? That would have been great. Jesus discovers and yells out to them and calls them. And Peter hears that, man. He just kind of jumps out of the boat and he's going after Jesus. He wants to see Jesus. He wants to be with Jesus. His eyes are focused on Jesus and he's running. Even though he denied the Lord, he wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted things to be made right with Jesus. Nothing was going to keep him from Jesus. And he gets to that shoreline and he gets to the Lord. And you know the story. The Lord tells him and asks him three times a question. Peter, do you love me? Now, if you take a dive into the Greek, it says, Peter, do you agape me? Peter, do you love me with the supernatural love that God has? Do you love me? Because, Peter, that's how I love you. And Peter responds, well, Lord, you know I love you. But it's a phileo love. Lord, I love you. It's a familiar love. It's an affection. It's I look up to you. I admire you kind of love. And he says, Peter, I want you to do something for me. He asks him a second time, Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me with that supernatural ability of God? No, Lord. Well, you know I love you. I phileo. That familiar love, that affection, I look up to you. But there was something kind of amiss there. What just didn't really happen, didn't really connect. It wasn't that deep, 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 deep commitment. Oh, Peter thought he had that deep commitment. You remember? He said, Lord, even if you go, you know, to Jerusalem, you know, I'll die for you. I'm not going to rebuke you. Yes, you are, Peter, three times. Lord asks Peter the third time, Peter, do you phileo, love me? Yes, Lord, you know I do. I love you. And through that encounter, we see that God, through his mercy, through his grace, through his amazing ability to pursue us, even if we've denied Christ, even if we've done the most abominable thing that we could ever think or imagine, God is still pursuing us with his love, because that's who God is. Yet God is holy. He will not tolerate our sin. That's why confession is so necessary. That is why we need to come before him and confess our sins, because he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not that we should say, oh, now I'm clean before my Lord, so I can go back out and get dirty again. I can go back out and walk in darkness again. I can go back out and speak evil about my neighbor again. I can post those unmentionable things on Twitter or Facebook again. No, I am changed inwardly by the Holy Spirit cleansing me and washing me with the blood of Christ. And out of his love that has been lavished upon me, I've been made whole. And therefore, because of that supernatural agape work, I'm changed and I go forth and I'm able to walk in the light. I'm able to walk in obedience. And I'm able to give a testimony that I know him. And then I'm able to walk like Jesus. Wow. Deuteronomy 6:5, you know that verse. That verse says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. In chapter 7, verse 9 of Deuteronomy, it says, you know that the Lord your God is the only true God. So love him and obey his commands, and he will faithfully keep his agreement with you and your descendants for 1,000 generations. Jesus was asked, and you've heard this, what's the greatest commandment, Lord? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And so John was saying to the believers, I don't need to really tell you a new commandment. I'm reminding you of the old commandment, which was a new commandment. What is that? Well, that is mentioned in John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. In the context here, John is urging, he is telling, maybe even commanding, he is speaking strong language that the believers in Jesus Christ are to love other believers in Jesus Christ. Love one another as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. What is this love that gives me the ability that I can love my brother or sister in Christ? How can I have fellowship with someone who doesn't like coffee? I mean, really, let's get serious. Oh, I sure can. If they're my brother or sister in Christ, I sure can. And yet, in our society, in our world, there are so many things that are pulling at us and grabbing for our attention and yanking at us and yelling at us and striving to divide us and destroy the unity of the body of Christ. We can have different opinions. You might like red. I might like blue. You might like green. Or you might like purple. But I can still have fellowship with you if you know Christ and you love Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. First, the kingdom of God. So how do I get there? Well, quickly. This could be enough. My wife always helps me, and I'm sorry. This could be for another sermon. 1 John chapter 4. We're going there. Let's look at verses 7 through 12. It's really 7 through 21, actually. 1 John chapter 4 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us," that covenantal steadfast love, "that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Wow. In order for me to accept and rely and trust on that steadfast love of God and that covenantal relationship, believing in Christ as my Lord and Savior by faith, yes, it is grace, all grace, but as I commit myself to the Lord, I begin to understand the priority and importance of loving God and loving others. In verses 7 and 8 of chapter 4 here, we see the command of God's love. I need to love one another. Let us love one another. Why? Because it's from God. That doesn't mean I overlook rebelliousness or overlook disobedience as a parent to a child, or overlook. It means I am loving. Love corrects. Love rebukes. Love also forgives. Love acts unselfishly. 1 Corinthians 13. Love rejoices in the truth, not in evil. There's the cost of love in verses 9 through 10. The cost was great. It was Jesus Christ Himself. There's the completeness of love. If I'm abiding in Christ, I have fellowship with him. I am walking in the light. I'm walking out of obedience because I love God and I have received his love for me. And it's just a natural outflow of my relationship with him. Man, I'm made complete. And then I have confidence on the day of judgment when I stand before the Lord. Am I going to stand before the Lord and boast, oh man, look how good I am? No. I was in a webinar on Saturday morning and they were asking these questions like they wanted us to draw a storyboard. There were six squares. And it was talking about how would you tell people what you do, but you can't really use Christianese, you know, that language that is all Christian. And I've used a lot of terms here this morning. But it's like, okay, what would you do? So first of all, about your name, what box would you draw about your name? Well, I drew a bear. My first name's Teddy. Bear, okay. Second box, they asked about what do you do? And you can't use the word, well, I'm a pastor or I'm a preacher. You can't do that. So I drew a hammer. Louis will get a kick out of this. I drew a hammer and some beams that came together with a cross on top. Doesn't mean, what does that mean? Well, it means, in my viewpoint, that I am called to build people up in the faith of Jesus Christ. My desire as a pastor is for all of you to become mature in your walk with Jesus. That's my hope. That's my desire. Okay, so I drew that little picture. Third says, well, what successes or what things do you like? Well, if you know me, I've already mentioned it about twice, if Nancy Lorenz is keeping count. She likes it when I mention food. Coffee. Put coffee there. And then I put a guitar. But then there was this other thing that what is success? And then what is expectation? So success for me is seeing a broken heart mended by the Holy Spirit, made whole. That's success. To see a heart that might be wrestling with sin. And God has been speaking to you and you finally say, yes, Lord, you are right. I need you. I need you in my life. I need you to forgive me. Give me strength to help and overcome. And God does a miraculous healing work. Wow. That's success. And then the final box was expectation. What is that? What's your expectation? My only expectation, really, genuinely, sincerely, humbly, is I long for the Lord to say, well done. And my response will be, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lord. Holy is his name. For you, there are two questions this morning on this wonderful day where we are to express love to those whom we are to love. And it's all this. Do I love God? Clarifying that, do I love God yet hate my brother or sister in Christ, my fellow Christian? Do I love God, yet continually I disobey his teaching and word? Do I love God, yet I'm really living for me, myself, and I? Do you love God? Second question, do I love others? Do you love others? Do you love other brothers and sisters in Christ? And how have you demonstrated that lately? Like this past week, or even today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to our heart. And Lord God Almighty, I thank you for the truth of your steadfast love. And Lord, I believe by the power of your Holy Spirit, it is your desire for all of us as your children who have come to know you by faith to say, Lord, I may not understand what's going on. I may not have the ability to be in control, especially with a pandemic or because of situations in my own personal world, or because of my thought life, or because of the actions that I've done, but I am going to trust in your covenantal, steadfast, unfailing love. And I'm going to ask, Lord, that you will do a new work in me, a new work in my life, that I may love you. Yes, as Jesus declared, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind, with all my might. But I also may love you in a way that expresses your love to others in and through me, that I can love others. Maybe the Lord has brought somebody into your mind and you're thinking, well, I don't really love that person, or that person really doesn't love me. And if God has done that, then I encourage you to first pray for that individual, and then secondly, express love to them. And it might mean humility by asking forgiveness. It might mean humility by saying, Lord, yeah, I've allowed some of those actions to cause bitterness in my soul, a hardness in my heart. Forgive me and help me to express forgiveness to them. Don't allow pride to keep you from being made whole. Don't allow saying, oh, I'm not full of sin. I don't sin, to keep you from fellowship with God. Honesty is a hard work, but it is a necessary work by the Spirit. So, Lord, I pray that you will minister and heal hearts today. That you will take the brokenness. You'll take the cruelty. You'll take the cancer of sin away. That you will bring forgiveness and cleansing and the washing of your blood into the hearts of your people. That you will do a spectacular supernatural change of love. Especially this day and every day. So, Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. We praise you. Glory to God. We give you all honor due to your holy, majestic name for your marvelous work. May we proclaim your love. May we show your love to one another. This we ask. For the glory of Jesus Christ, who loves us so. Amen.